Next on Making Sense of the Madness, massive protests throughout Brazil as the incumbent president Bolsonaro, who has not conceded, is silent, awaiting an election audit. He's due to address the country today. But we will be interviewing experts today on the economic meltdown, sudden deaths, and worldwide protests. We're going to question the mainstream narrative and expose media propaganda. But first, an AMP alert from Josh Reed.
This is Josh Reed with your daily AMP alert, keeping you updated, notified, and up to speed on the state of our nation leading up to the November primaries. Well, Paul Pelosi was apparently, and I say apparently, attacked in his home this last weekend by a gentleman by the name of Dave DePape. Now, what's interesting about this is preliminary reports came out that this really wasn't the case. We're hearing that Paul Pelosi was hit in the head with a hammer and was undergoing surgery at the Zuckerberg Memorial Hospital there in San Francisco. Now, we do know that he was hit in the head or in the face with the hammer, but here's the problem, is that all the information coming out with Dave DePape is being switched at the last moment. We're hearing that he was a member of the gay hippie crowd out there in San Francisco, which is known for drugs and prostitution. We know that from original accounts that Paul Pelosi and Dave DePape and an unknown third person were in their underwear. An unknown third person is the one who let the police in the door. The police did not respond to a disturbance, but instead a welfare check on Paul Pelosi. When they went to the house, they noticed a gentleman wrestling with Paul Pelosi with a hammer in his hand. And then when the police entered is when he hit them. Now, a few of the other accounts that we're getting is that Paul Pelosi went to the bathroom, made the phone call, then came back and said that Dave was a friend, although he didn't know him. A lot of things do not add up on this story. Mainstream media began reporting almost immediately on the right-wing rhetoric about this story, saying that Dave DePape was connected to QAnon, MAGA, anti-Semitism, and much, much more. The interesting thing about that, as reported by the Gateway Pundit, was that those websites reporting that were created the day of the event and taken down a day later. And many news stories have been since retracted since then. And now we're seeing the narrative shift that there wasn't three people, there was only two, that both men had a hammer. Now one man had a hammer, it was Dave DePape. And so this is a massive cover-up. We're looking at what we're seeing here, in my opinion, is this was Paul Pelosi with a lover in the middle of the night, intoxicated at his house. A lover's quarrel went wrong. The police showed up for a welfare check. Who knows? Maybe Nancy called them. And they basically set the scene to cover it all up. Very, very interesting story there. And we're going to keep you updated on that as more develops. Keep listening for your daily AMP alerts while we keep you updated and notified. My name is Josh Reed. We'll talk to you here soon.
And I was just out in Santa Fe, New Mexico. I interviewed California's Governor Gavin Newsom. He was there trying to help out the Democratic governor, Michelle Lujan Grisham, win re-election. That is clear evidence that Democrats feel they have to be in places that they didn't think they'd have to be 5 weeks ago in order to defend a governor like that. I asked Gavin Newsom, I said, how many seats in California on the House side could Democrats lose? He said, there are four races that are competitive now that were not competitive 5 weeks ago.
Wow. Mm.
That indicates a shift in momentum. And I said, does it feel like a red wave? Gavin Newsom's words, it does.
Wow. That's right. Even Gavin Newsom is admitting a red wave is imminent. And I've seen other signs in the mainstream media of the Democrats preemptively admitting defeat. Well, a new UN report is saying that a global transformation from fossil fuels to, you know, the new carbon-based economy is expected to require investments of at least $4 to $6 trillion a year for 8 years. It's unclear if the UN would like that money deposited directly into their bank accounts from nation states as a form of a global tax, or if all the countries in the world will agree to invest between 2% and 10% of their GDP into climate-friendly investments voluntarily. Well, the Daily Mail reports that researchers at Imperial College London have hybridized the original Wuhan strain of COVID with both the Omicron and/or the Delta variants, and we don't see a lot of pushes for the Democrats to vote during the midterms, but we do see a lot of these types of headlines. This somewhat seems like an implicit threat to global safety to me. I'm seeing this all released all at the exact same time in Boston, in Maryland, in London, three different gain-of-function experiments being publicized. Basically, it's a threat. It's a threat to our safety to see this type of a headline, and it scares people to death. Well, Bolsonaro supporters are blocking roads, truck drivers, motorists, even some police are joining a vast national protest of what is perceived as a stolen election. And the incumbent president Bolsonaro, who has not conceded, is silently awaiting an election audit by the military. He is rumored to address the nation tonight at 8 p.m. Eastern. And let's take a look at some of this shocking footage of blocked roads in some of the most important thoroughfares in the country. The road to the Capitol, the road to the biggest international airport, the roads to international border crossings, all blocked. Let's take a look.
Sorriso, Mato Grosso. Poder é do povo.
Todo poder é mano do povo. Artigo 142.
As some of you may know, I'm on the ground in Brazil right now, and in the tiny town I live in 15,000 residents, there are roads blocked by pro-Bolsonaro protesters here in this little town where nothing's going on. That just shows you how prevalent these protests are. And everyone is at the edge of their seats to see what Bolsonaro will say when he breaks his silence. There are even rumors of military intervention and even arrests of Supreme Court justices that may be imminent. We will keep you updated with the latest on that tomorrow, but let's close out with some more drone footage of just how many trucks are blocked on the highways right now.
Olha só, ninguém sai daí. Pouco antes, nós observamos algumas pessoas com malas saindo dos ônibus também. Eram passageiros que não sabiam que essa rodovia seria parada. Estamos na Presidente Dutra agora. Gente, quando essa câmera correr, você vai observar comigo ao vivo o tamanho dessa fila. Ela é quilométrica. Tô vendo aí caminhão, ônibus e até agora raros carros pequenos, hein? Raríssimo. É caminhão e ônibus parado aí, principalmente caminhão. Tem muita carreta. E não é apenas em São Paulo. Nós estamos tendo protestos de caminhoneiros em todo o Brasil nesse momento. Olha a imagem, vai correndo e essa fila não para. Quantos caminhões aí? Marcos Leandro.
Inúmeros caminhões, realmente. Presidente Dutra, Passaia, protesto de caminhoneiros. Desde as primeiras horas do dia, a gente vê aí quilômetros e quilômetros de congestionamento na Presidente Dutra. Ali um carro pequeno, no acostamento, né? Um carro pequeno no meio, né?
Just blows the mind to see how many trucks are on that highway. And what's really interesting is that this is a people's movement working by themselves without any direction from Bolsonaro. This is what the people organically wanted to do as a response of what they perceived as a stolen election. Well, 9 days before the election for Secretary of State in Arizona, America First candidate Mark Fincham was suspended by Twitter. However, due to an intervention by the new owner, Elon Musk, his account has been reinstated just in time for the election, and it looks like rogue Twitter employees were trying to do election interference, but it didn't work out too well. Well, that is it for the breaking news. Next up, Dr. Kirk Elliott will give us a financial update as soon as we get back.
Government-induced inflation, taxes, rising interest rates, political instability. All of these can have a crushing effect on our investments, often causing the stock market to go down. But they can also cause gold and silver to go up.
Hi, this is Dr. Kirk Elliott. Buy gold, buy silver, buy now, but buyer beware. Precious metals companies are not created equal. As a PhD economist, I have been in the financial, economic, and precious metals business for 3 decades. The philosophy of my firm is people over profit. I encourage you to read my bio to learn more about me at KirkElliottPhD.com.
Now is the time to own physical metals in an IRA, 401k, and outside of a retirement plan. Don't let the government destroy your hard-earned assets any longer. Call 720-605-3900 or visit KirkElliottPhD.com.
Well, Dr. Kirk Elliott is a PhD economist, and he's great to have you back, Kirk. People are really starting to speculate that the Fed will have to pivot soon, and they're going to be meeting tomorrow. Is that correct? Well, what are your thoughts? What do you think they're going to do?
I think they're going to continue to raise rates because the inflation numbers that came out last week, 8.3%, right? But here's the more important one, 11.5% on food. They realized that after all of the rate increases that we've seen, Sean, what we've had 5 in a row, a quarter, a half, three quarters, right? It hasn't actually slowed down inflation yet. It hasn't worked. So they have to keep raising rates. And in fact, just a couple days ago, it was over the weekend, basically Goldman Sachs CEO said that we're going to have to tighten meaningly from here, meaning what? They're going to raise rates even more to slow down this inflation train. Jamie Dimon, CEO of JP Morgan Chase, expects a huge U.S. recession in a tight labor market to keep the Federal Reserve on an aggressive monetary policy tightening trajectory. So you've got JP Morgan Chase, you've got Goldman Sachs, both saying the same thing. You also have the chief operating officer of JP Morgan Chase saying that look, the interest rates that we're seeing really are tools in front of us. This is a paraphrase, are not really working. Therefore, we're going to have to go into probably a pretty steep recession to get inflation to go away. So you've got three people, two with JP Morgan Chase, one with Goldman Sachs, basically stating tightening is on its way, which means raising rates even more and tightening up that credit to try to slow down this inflation train.
What is confusing to me, Kirk, is it seems like we're in between a rock and a hard place here, because the more we tighten, the more we go into a recession, depression, and then you have less tax revenues because you got less profits, you got more people unemployed. So the people on the street don't feel like, oh, they're better off because the inflation came down. They feel like I'm worse off because I lost my job. And then if they did the opposite, and if they decided to, you know, cut rates, then we'd have runaway inflation, and people would, you know, be complaining as well. So it's really like pick your poison here. So, but don't they inevitably have to, encourage inflation to just inflate away the debt? I mean, what's the timeline on that in your mind?
Well, the timeline is, who knows? When you look back into the late 70s, the last time we had a scenario like this, they let it go too long, right? And inflation got up to 14.25%, right? Right now, they claim we're at 8.3, but ultimately, same metrics, were at 24.8. They've let it go on too long now. So what did they have to do back then? They jacked up interest rates to 18%. See, inflation is more insidious to the economy than raising rates, because ultimately people just ultimately file for bankruptcy. They can't afford their bills. That impacts the banking system, which is already strapped for liquidity, right? But inflation affects people in day-to-day life even more. You can't file for bankruptcy from eating, right? So So, and or from fueling your car or heating your house, right? So the inflationary pressures are at a higher level priority to policymakers than our interest rates generally. And that's why I think they're going to continue to tighten to slow down inflation, or else what are the ramifications? Daniel Pinto, who is chief operating officer at Chase, the reason why he's so concerned about this is he's Argentinian. He lived through the Argentinian hyperinflation. He does not want to see that here in America. And so he believes that they're going to have to keep raising rates. People who carry debt are ultimately going to have to file bankruptcy. That does impact the banking system and any lender, but that is a lesser degree problem than actually inflation in their minds, because they've lived through it, right? They lived through it in Argentina.
That makes sense to me. Thank you so much, Kirk, for that important update, especially for the investors out there. Well, next up, Tiago Henriquez has been tracking sudden deaths, and the results will shock you as soon as we get back.
Inflation is out of control. The price of gasoline has doubled in a very short time, and interest rates are set to rise. How do you protect and grow your portfolio to make sure that you do not outlive your assets? Invest in annuities that have rate lock. Rate lock is an innovative new feature that allows you to lock in your rate of return at any time during the year to lock in these volatile upswings of the market. And unlike CDs and money market accounts, they accumulate tax deferred and can participate in the upside of market indexes. And they're probate free, and they can provide an income that you can't outlive. With all the different companies, features, indexes, and benefits which annuities offer, it can be confusing to choose which annuity is best for your unique situation. Let a company you can trust help you select a rate lock annuity that's right for you. Add an annuity to your retirement portfolio and start enjoying the many benefits that smart investors love. Call the Cleveland Insurance Group at 844-USA-2024. That's the Cleveland Insurance Group at 844-USA-2024. The Cleveland Insurance Group, 844-USA-2024.
Tiago Henriquez is the creator of Died Suddenly News. Tiago, thank you so much for joining us. When did you start this group and how has it evolved over time?
I started about a year and a half ago. It got up to 300,000 people. It was the fastest Facebook group in history. We were having about 20,000 new members every single day joining, and then Facebook deleted it. I started another group. We got up to 170,000 people, and they just deleted that group this morning.
Wow. It's hard to put your eggs in that Facebook basket because they censor this type of stuff. But I'm sure you've had to figure out other ways of getting the word out there about sudden deaths. So what are the other ways that people can access this information?
I'm currently programming our own platform, DiedSuddenly.news. We have a Give, Send, Go campaign going to help us fund that project. But in the meantime, I got to stick with, you know, the mainstream social media sites. And I try to avoid all that. I'm an artificial intelligence programmer, so I kind of know what they're looking for.
Right. And why do you think someone tracking sudden deaths is a threat to their system?
Well, they want to keep it quiet. They don't want to know. They don't want anybody to know that these vaccine injuries and deaths are, you know, are happening on a massive scale. So they're going to try to keep a lid on it as best that they can. But you know, I don't think it's working too well. I think in the last 3 or 4 months, it's starting to get out.
So when you first started tracking these sudden deaths, what did they look like? Who did you see them in? Were they in older people, younger people, athletes, certain ethnicities, certain nationalities? Any patterns that you recognized over time?
Yeah, the patterns were you know, initially happening in the younger people in my local area here in Canada. But, you know, they started having heart attacks at 20 years old. Stroke, seizures, and then I started hearing about these super cancers that were happening, and that was through all age categories. And now recently I'm hearing about male breast cancer on the rise, and just people dying suddenly for no reason.
So yeah, you started seeing all ages, you started seeing a lot of cancer as well. And so what kind of reports are you tracking? Are they headlines in the news? Are they videos, all different types of mediums? Can you explain how your tracking works?
So basically, our tracking, I have an outside camera that captures all the people's stories, I guess you can say. These are mostly all personal stories. We have some like famous headline news, but mostly all personal accounts. And then I keep them on a database. That way, when I have the new platform up and running, I can put everything back up there.
Well, that was smart of you, because a lot of people, did just store everything on the big tech platforms and then they lost it forever. So very smart that you saved all that. And we do have a clip of some sudden deaths that seem to have a pattern of convulsions, of people looking over their shoulder. I don't know if you looked into this at all, but this is from One American News. Let's take a look at that clip.
Security cameras from around the world are capturing frightening new footage of people collapsing in spasms on the ground in what may be the latest symptoms of exposure to the COVID-19 vaccines. One America's Pearson Sharp has more.
One America News has extensively covered the dangers of the experimental chemical injections the government is calling the COVID vaccine. From heart attacks and strokes to paralysis, neuropathy, and explosive increase in cancer, autoimmune diseases, and even sudden death, with young, healthy people in the prime of their lives simply falling down dead. The list of fatal side effects from these injections is truly stupefying. Well, now there are videos emerging of a terrifying new condition that's popping up all over the world. What you're looking at now is footage from security cameras that shows people suffering from the effects of some mysterious attack on their bodies. In every case, it follows the same pattern. The affected person stops what they're doing and looks around as if they hear something, slowly turning their head. Then they start flailing their arms and legs, kicking and thrashing like they're fending off some invisible attacker. This is followed by collapsing on the ground in a convulsion, writhing and twisting in uncontrollable spasms. The incidents of this bizarre and frightening new malady have come out of nowhere, and now it's being captured by CCTVs around the world. Now, to be fair, it's not clear if this vaccine death spiral is linked to the CCP injections, but when you consider the alarming number of other gruesome side effects from this vaccine, it's not hard to believe. As far as we can tell, this has never been witnessed before. And if that's the case, then we have to consider what could be responsible. Now let's think. What's the biggest new variable the world has seen in the last 2 years? Well, if you're not a brain-dead member of the branch COVIDian Fauci,
they were just about to, bring it to the main subject, which is we didn't have sudden deaths in young, healthy people before the experimental so-called vaccines. So tell me, Tiago, when you're researching and you're seeing healthy athletes collapse on the field and you start doing your research and start, seeing interviews with alternative doctors and so forth, did certain theories seem to resonate more with you of what was responsible, such as clots in the heart or myocarditis and different things like this? What do you think is causing the sudden deaths? And, there's a lot of different causes, but what are some of the things you think people should look into?
Well, there's no doubt in my mind that the vaccines are causing all these issues. We don't even know really what's in there. I mean, you have essentially all these adjuvants with heavy metals being pumped, and then obviously the mRNA technology that's in there as well. But in terms of the athletes, I think people should also be looking into the performance-enhancing drugs part of it. I think that's why when you combine the performance-enhancing drugs with the mRNA vaccine, it just makes a double effect on the thickness of the red blood cells in the blood. And I think that's why you're seeing a lot more professional athletes dropping, in particular bodybuilders, because when they take, a substance like EPO or anabolics or anything like that, it thickens their blood. the higher red blood cell count. So when you combine that with a vaccine, it makes it even worse.
Yes, you know, that's what I was thinking too, that the blood clots might have something to do with it. But, you know, we are just guessing at this point because we haven't seen a lot of doctors come forward to blow the whistle on this. There have been a few, but no type of broad studies to try to figure it out. So what about the video we just showed where you see people going through the spiral and the convulsions and so forth? Any comment on that?
Yeah, we've been noticing a definite increase in suicides, episodes of psychosis. So it doesn't surprise me. It looks like they're going through some psychosis before they drop. And that's normal. In my group, people post that all the time. That to me, that's nothing new. Suicides are through the roof. Attempted suicides are through the roof. And I think it's going to continually get worse from here on out.
Could that have to do with the mRNA technology and neurons, for example, getting past the blood-brain barrier? I know you're not a medical doctor, but we're just trying to figure this out together because we don't have enough doctors studying this. Any theories?
It's definitely, it's getting through the blood-brain barrier. There's no doubt. There's research that points to that. But I think when it does get there, you know, essentially, like I mentioned before, you have a whole bunch of adjuvants and heavy metals going into the brain, and who knows what else that they're putting in there, what other technology that we're not aware of. And it's definitely affecting their brain. These people, you know, they don't want to be alive. They want to commit suicide. And I've been hearing also a lot of reports that these people lack empathy. They used to be so nice at one point, you know, very courteous, very polite, and they've turned, their personalities have turned into something completely different.
That's very interesting. Yeah, I'd like to talk more about this idea that over time, and perhaps as people get boosted more, they might have more symptoms. Anything to comment regarding that? That some people have only taken one shot or two shots, but some have taken three or four or more. So anything anecdotally you've seen from all these testimonials?
Yeah, the more you take, the more messed up you're going to be. It's that simple. The more of these heavy metals and new technology that you're putting into your body, at some point, one of those vaccines is going to be the hot shot. It's no different than Russian roulette. I think they're playing with their lives and their health, and it's just not worth it.
What's it like there on the ground in Canada as far as restrictions? How have things evolved there with the mandates?
Right now, everything's lifted. The borders are lifted. There's no restrictions here. I'm in Sydney, Nova Scotia, Canada. Right now, it's, I guess you can say, normal in quotes, but I can't get into the United States. My girlfriend's in California, and the U.S. border patrol people, they will not let me in without a vaccine. I've never received any vaccines my whole life, even the childhood ones. So I'm waiting for the political establishment in the United States to let me in your country so I can come visit you guys.
I'm having the same problem with my family. My wife is Brazilian. She can't enter the United States without a vaccine as well. So this is the Biden regime setting up that mandate. And, you know, I'm in Brazil at the moment and there's restrictions here, but you can get a doctor's note for an exemption. So there's some ways around it. It's not quite as strict as the U.S. So yeah, there's still mandates all over the world, especially for travel and so forth. So let's dig a little bit deeper into these testimonies you've seen. Can you tell me a little bit more about how they've evolved over the past year? Have you seen an uptick in more testimonials over time? Have you seen from certain countries? Any other patterns you can mention?
Yes, I've definitely in the last 6 months, I'd say 3 to 6 months, I've seen an explosion in heart attacks, strokes, and every month it's getting younger and younger and younger. And those are the patterns that I'm seeing. I'm also seeing people that are worried about getting blood transfusions. I think that's a massive worry. I'm a cyclist. Every day that I go out riding my bike, for example, I'm scared that, you know, if I get into an accident and a car hits me, I got to go to a hospital. I might be unconscious and they're going to give me vaccinated blood. That's a huge concern. And one of the babies that we had, the Bly family, he was a 6-week-old baby. He had a blood transfusion. The next day, he passed away from massive blood clotting. He received vaccinated blood in the state of California.
Yeah, we're going to have to start thinking about this and categorizing blood that way, unfortunately. I want to ask you more questions about your database, and we're going to take a quick break, and we'll dig into that as soon as we get back.
Hydrogen is used by health professionals as a powerful antioxidant and the number one tool to fight inflammation. Studies show therapeutic potential in cancer, diabetes, digestive, and heart issues, and essentially every organ and system in the body. This is not medical advice because I'm not your doctor, but if you have any health concerns, I strongly recommend that you learn more about hydrogen. Get educated at holyhydrogen.com and order the best hydrogen generator known to man. Because hydrogen is the smallest molecule in existence, it can pass through the cell membrane and even the blood-brain barrier to clear out inflammation and free radical damage where other antioxidants just can't get to. Visit holyhydrogen.com to see the latest technology that elevates your immune system and fights inflammation. Search their research library to see if hydrogen has a track record for helping a health concern you're dealing with. Make sure to use your special American Media Periscope code, AMP, for $100 off your order. HolyHydrogen.com.
We're talking to Tiago Henriquez. He is the creator of Died Suddenly News. And Tiago, you were saying that you created a database. And I was wondering how much, I know you're a programmer. How much of this are you quantifying and tracking and figuring out these different patterns? Are you categorizing what kind of injury, where the person is from, age, any of these metrics involved?
Right now, no. We're just copying all the posts that's going on. However, when I have my new platform up and everybody comes on and joins, and when they make a post, let's say for example, they're going to be putting their geographical location, which vaccine it was, batch number, what happened to them, what doctor they seen, everything. It's going to be all-encompassing database throughout the whole world. So you'll be able to click on whatever geographical region you're from and see what the ages of the heart attacks that people are posting, what vaccine they took, et cetera, et cetera. And it's not going to be just a database just for the COVID-19 vaccines. It's going to be for every single vaccine on the schedule.
So what is the proposed launch date for DiedSuddenly.news?
Right now, I'm looking at middle of December, around Christmas time. I'd say like December 19th, 17th. I just talked to my front-end programmers yesterday, and that's what we're looking at.
That'll be a great resource. Where are you going for information to do your medical research to try to figure all this out?
I have friends that have interviewed me, Mr. Steve Kirsch, the wellness company with Foster Colson, and I have access to those physicians, including Dr. Peter McCullough and all these other physicians. So if I have any questions, I usually relay it to them, and they usually get back to me pretty quickly. So I got a great team, the FLC Triple C, Steve Kirsch, the wellness company, a lot of terrific doctors, great people.
And what are some of the things that they are saying that you think are important for people to research?
It's hard to say. They see a lot of vaccine injured people, all kinds of different vaccine injuries, young people, old people. The best thing that I can tell everybody listening to this is just don't take them. You don't need them. I've never had a vaccine in my life. I'm still alive. So I'm almost 49 years old. I do well. I do triathlons. You guys do not need these vaccines. They're causing destruction, beyond your wildest dreams. I see it every day.
So how have you been holding up for the past year as you track one of the most scary and disturbing trends in human history? Looking at it day after day, how do you stay strong? Because it seems like you're on a mission here.
I have a lot of great friends. I have a huge support network, people that support me in my life. I got my daughter. She's 14. She supports me 100%. I have people like yourself, fellow freedom fighters and people who want to get the truth out. I have tons of support. I love listening to your show and shows like yours. And it just gives me motivation. But I think my biggest motivation is the vaccine injured and the families of the people with the vaccine deaths. I feel like I can use my talents and my skills that were given to me and make a difference in people's lives.
Well, before the show, we were talking about how all these people like ourselves who have been deplatformed by big tech, we need to take people to court. We need to hold people accountable. And the same thing, of course, needs to happen with this medical tyranny, from big pharma to government to whoever is responsible. So do you think your database could be useful when it comes to that time of accountability? Because it's easy to sweep everything under the rug if it's been disappeared on the net.
I have no doubt one day in the future that some attorney, some judge, some politicians are going to want to take the information and all the data that I have and bring it in a court of law for a prosecution. I have no doubt that that's going to happen.
And have you seen any legal fights out there that are inspiring to you thus far?
Here in Canada, a lot of the legal fights that I've been watching are still ongoing. I see small victories here and there. I'm starting to follow a little bit more in the United States as well. I'm hopeful. There's a lot of great freedom fighters out there and amazing attorneys and physicians that are, you know, that are going to take this to the next level in terms of the court of law. So I'm excited to see what's going to happen. I have a lot of faith and hope that the good will prevail over the evil.
We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I want to ask you what you think all people can do out there who are just regular citizens. What can they do to fight back? If they're not a programmer like yourself, if they don't have a TV show like me, what can they do with their talents? We're going to discuss that as soon as we get back.
The iSat Phone 2 is the latest generation satellite phone designed for the most reliable commercial satellite communications network in the world. The iSat Phone 2 from Inmarsat is ready, reliable, and robust. iSat Phone 2 has fast network registration and unrivaled battery life with up to 160 hours of standby time. iSat Phone 2 operates over global geostationary satellites with 99% network availability and reliable call stability and network connection. Engineered to withstand the most extreme conditions, the iSat Phone 2 is dust, splash, and shock resistant. The iSat Phone 2 has built-in tracking and assistance buttons and gives notifications even when the antenna is stowed. And with the easy-to-use interface and high-visibility display, the iSat Phone 2 is ready to go. Find out more at Inmarsat.com.
We're talking to Tiago Henriquez, the creator of Died Suddenly News. So, Tiago, the internet isn't what it used to be. It seems like a lot of things that the powers that be don't want us to learn about are memory hold or just impossible to find in a standard search engine. And it seems like you found a niche here. You filled a need for us, for humanity, to track this. You know, how did you know that would be needed? And what do you think? What do you see other needs out there that you know we as humanity need to step up and fight against big tech by being smart like you were with tracking this, but you don't have all the resources and time to do it all yourself.
Yeah, I mean it's a tough go. I in my professional life I'm an artificial intelligence programmer. I do programming. I'm a Forex trader, so I use my AI skills to make predictions on the Forex markets. So I'm really good with patterns. And I noticed that, you know, this, you know, a year and a half ago that nobody was tracking this stuff. Nobody was doing any kind of database or anything like that. So I decided to do it myself. As for the, you know, regular person who's not a programmer, you know, doesn't have a show, how can they help? You can support me at my GiveSendGo, help me build this platform and shut down the big tech people for good. And if you can't support financially, that's okay too. You can support us emotionally, or you can go out there and talk to these people who are thinking of getting a vaccine and point them in the direction of my Facebook group or our website. There's many things that you can do to not have these people take any more booster shots or anything like that. And if they do have an injury, We also have support on our Facebook page with the wellness company and Dr. McCullough.
Right. And I'm curious how you see DiedSuddenly.news evolving over time. Are you going to have different categories for different types of injuries? So you have deaths, you'd have injuries. What about reproductive issues? People who can't have a child. That's a certain type of injury. What about stillborn children and, the unborn who are injured? How do you see this type of project being important to tracking things that they're not tracking enough in the government databases?
Yeah. So again, if you're going to come to DiedSuddenly.news when the platform's up and running, it's going to be fantastic, because as the, as people post on there and as the information is gathered, you'll be able to go to any section that you want. Let's say, for example, cardiac related, newborn related, psychologically related, whatever it is, whatever the, problem, whether it's a stroke, seizure, heart attack, you'll be able to go look at those numbers. And not only that, even news organizations like yourself are going to be able to plug into the back end, into our API system. And you're going to be getting all these numbers in real time. So you're going to be getting the deaths, the injuries, all in real time. And just like they have a counter for the amount of debt in the United States, there's a website that continually does the counting for that. We're going to have a count on the number of injuries and deaths all across the world as well.
That is so needed, because we can't trust the VAERS database for being the sole source of data for us to rely on to figure out what's really going on. We know there's just such a small percentage of people that even report their adverse events to VAERS. So this is so needed. And what was the feedback you've heard from Dr. Peter McCullough, from Steve Kirsch, from these various people about the value of your database?
They are on board 1,000%, especially Mr. Steve Kirsch. He's as you all know, he's a titan in the business world, hedge funds, the optical mouse. So he's a very numbers driven man. He's an incredible guy. And this is the kind of information that people like him are looking for. They want the numbers. They want the real numbers, or as close to the real numbers as possible.
Right. So this is great that you're going to have your site up, that you have your Give, Send, Go. Is there anything that you're looking at as far as making this a nonprofit organization or a corporation, or how many people are on your team? I know some of this might be proprietary, but anything you want to share about your organization?
Yeah, it's going to be totally free to the general public. They're not going to pay 1 cent. They will be able to come and access the site. Organizations like yours, media organizations, will be able to plug in for free as well. We're going to take revenue in through advertising. Of course, they have to be vetted advertisers like the wellness company or Steve Kirsch. And then we'll take small revenue like that, to help keep us afloat, to pay for all the costs of running a big site like that. We're going to have top of line security. Our servers are going to be offshore. Nobody's gonna, get at us. I have a great team, about 15 people right now. I have some of the best front end developers in the world, the React programmers, and I have some of the best hackers in the world, that are in charge of, gonna be in charge of the internet security, our website security.
So that's great to hear that you have resources, at least for now. It's important people support so you can continue this project. But have you had any stumbling blocks besides Facebook trying to deplatform you several times? Is there any other resistance that you've come across?
I mean, I get the odd trolls and people speaking badly, but I don't listen to anything like that. I would have to say the overwhelming percentage, 98% of the feedback that I get is super positive, a lot of love. And I'm going to continue doing what I'm doing. Nobody's going to stop me.
Any technical resistance to you, hacking attempts, malware, surveillance, anything at all?
We had the British military intelligence trying to come into our Facebook group. Some of my security team already knew who they were, who they are. They're called the 77th Brigade, and they are British military intelligence. And the reason that we got deplatformed from my first group, over 300,000 people, was because the BBC wrote an article about us, about my group, and then they fed the information that I had a group like this using code words and all this kind of stuff, and they gave it to Facebook. So it looks like to me these big companies, these big media companies and intelligence agencies, whether they're British, U.S. or Canadian intelligence, they have a portal with Facebook. I know for a fact that they have a portal with Facebook, and they feed them information on what's going on in terms of groups.
Yes, this just came out this week. Of course, we already knew about it. We've had this reported, but now it's really official that the big tech had government portals. They coordinated with the Biden regime, for example, to clamp down on certain accounts, certain messages that they wanted to censor. And certainly vaccine injuries is one of the hot button issues that they wanted to suppress. Have you seen any shift from total, you know, suppression of vaccine injury to now it's kind of mainstream? You know, we have the number one TV show, Tucker Carlson, finally talking about vaccine injuries. You know, we have certain networks like Fox that wouldn't talk about it, but now they are. Maybe certain pharma companies being blamed when really all of them are to blame. Have you seen any shift in the narrative that you think is important to note?
Yeah, I have seen a shift in the narrative. They're a little bit looser with the vaccine talk, like you mentioned. You know, but I think that, you know, there's, you know, and this is just my opinion. I think that they're, you know, sometime in the future, at some point, they're going to blame somebody for it.
Like a scapegoat, it was all yep. Pfizer's fault or whatever. What about different countries that have reacted in more authoritarian ways than others? In Australia, they had drones and people in helicopters with loudspeakers tracking people and encouraging them to put their masks back on and stay in their house. We have zero COVID policy in China. You know, Canada was quite strict. Were there any different areas around the world that you think are important to look at as possibly a model that in the future we might see that type of rollout globally?
Yeah, I mean, number one being Australia. I think they just brought in new legislation to come into your house, you know, and with these forced vaccinations. I think that was like maybe a month ago or a few weeks ago. So wherever you see these authoritarian type regimes, Canada, Australia, generally speaking, I look at them as the most vaccine injured. So including the state of California, the state of New York, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, there's an important correlation to look at. And of course, if there's more backlash or there's more consequences for citizens if they choose not to get vaccinated, of course, they will choose to get vaccinated. They feel, forced to do it, coerced, you could say. So what about in Canada? You know, they say certain statistics of what percentage of citizens have been vaxxed. Do you trust those statistics? What about anecdotally when you ask your friends and family what percentage of people in your area or maybe across Canada do you think really are vaxxed or unvaxxed?
I think it's high. I think it's in my area. I can definitely tell you it's over 90%. I live in a very liberal province in Nova Scotia, and almost every single person that I know has received at least two doses. So that, you know, but I also believe that not many people are going to be taking the boosters. I think here in Canada, the rate is 17% uptake for the boosters. And there's a reason for that. The reason is because when people took the first two, they got hurt, they got injured, they didn't feel well, they don't want to go through that again. So you're going to have, as time progresses, you're going to have less and less people take it, but it's too late because a lot of them are injured and they're not going to be able to do too much about it. You know, when you suffer a stroke or a heart attack, you know, you're probably not going to, you know, the last thing on your mind is to go take a booster.
Oh, certainly. And what about the idea that they may have dropped the requirements temporarily in Canada and other places, but that they might try to do it again? You've seen a lot of, we even reported on it today in the monologue, in London. They did gain-of-function research on COVID. Recently, we saw monkeypox gain-of-function in Maryland. Boston University did gain-of-function on COVID. So just seeing it all over the place, that there could be another lab leak, intentional or unintentional. And certainly, the authoritarians loved this pandemic. They thought it was the best thing that ever happened. It was great for their power grab. So do you see this as an inevitability that the deep state will try this again?
It's highly possible that they're going to try the nonsense again. I think people have to understand we're dealing with a criminal organization from the top down. There's no distinction, in my opinion, from, you know, what you're seeing here from the deep state and from, let's say, for example, the Gambino crime family in New York City with John Gotti. There's no difference. They're both one and the same. They're both criminal organizations, and they'll use force and forceful tactics to get what they want.
Right. Are there any certain politicians in Canada that are standing up for the unvaccinated that are really, is there any opposition movement against the current prime minister and his party?
I mean, the only person right now that I'm hearing that's even bringing up vaccination, a politician that's currently in office is the premier of Alberta. Her name escapes me at this minute. She's the newly elected premier, but apparently she's on board with medical freedom, to cut out the mandates, et cetera, et cetera. So there's not many here in Canada. The majority of the province are under a strict liberal control. So can the mandates come back? Absolutely. They can bring them back because it's a criminal organization, however they see fit.
Can you comment on the Canadian trucker movement and how that fizzled out and the tactics they used to get into people's bank accounts, shut down the bank accounts of the supporters of that movement?
I think the Canadian trucker movement, first of all, before I say anything, I'm a proud Canadian citizen. I'm very proud of my fellow Canadians. I'm very proud of all the truckers that went down there and all the people that supported it. However, I think it was the wrong strategy. And the reason is because you have a mathematical equation. And in this equation, at the end of the equation, you have something called the police department and military. And that was the problem with the trucker movement. At the end of the day, they were going to be faced with dealing with police or military that were going to kick them out. As for the freezing of bank accounts, again, you're dealing with a criminal organization. They'll do whatever it takes to scare people. I just think that the tactic used to go down to Ottawa to do that was the spirit was correct, but the tactic was different. If you're going to be doing something like that, you have to eliminate the police or military from that mathematical equation in order to gain traction. And there is a way to do it.
Well, one way to get rid of an enemy is to make them your ally. Is that something you're suggesting?
No. No, what I'm suggesting, I have, like I said, I'm expert in forex trading, the foreign currency markets. The best way, in my opinion, to take the police out of that mathematical equation is to do a bank run, to destroy them and bring them to their knees before they do it to you. That's the only way that they're going to listen, is when people go to their banks, withdraw all their money, stop paying all their debts, and the financial banking system will be at the precipice of a collapse. They're going to go digital anyways. So if they come up with these mandates and authoritarian rule, that's one tool that we can use that eliminates the police out of the equation.
Yeah, that would kill a lot of birds with one stone. If people had the cash to be able to do trading, then they wouldn't have to use a digital cryptocurrency, for example. I've heard of different reactions here in Brazil I've even heard people say weird things like, if Bolsonaro loses, I won't go to church anymore, as if that's going to do anything. But my response to that was, well, how about if you're going to do anything, just don't pay your taxes. The same idea that you were saying, like, to starve them out of their resources. So a run on the banks would be, I think, very effective. And it'd be interesting to see if something like that happens, because the trucker movements, I think it's a genius idea if you go all the way. You either go all the way or you don't do it at all, because look what they tried at the trucker movement in the U.S. They tried to go to D.C. for one weekend. They Then they decided not to block the roads to DC, and then they just went home. And now in Brazil, they're blocking all the major roads, but how long will they do it? Or will they just go home if they don't get their way? It's one of those things that you have to do it, you know, like you said, when you're going against police and military, that's an important part of the equation. What's interesting in Brazil is that Bolsonaro has huge support from the military. So it'd be interesting to see if the military get on the side of the protesters. But we've come across the same issue in the U.S. With, you know, trying to protest things where the police look at January 6th. The Capitol Police were very brutal against those protesters and used military tactics and tools against those protesters. So, yeah, sometimes it makes you wonder if it's worth it to protest at all in person, because with the January 6th protesters, they've been tracked, surveilled, targeted, punished, and so forth. And the people who were rounded up have been held without bail for almost 2 years. So there are consequences to going against a very powerful government. And I'm just happy that there are people like you who are willing to spend so much of your own time and resources to do that fight. And it's a peaceful one that you're doing, and it's a peaceful one that you're suggesting. We've got about 1 minute left, Tiago. Any final calls to action for all the citizen patriots out there?
Join my Facebook group. Do things in a peaceful way. Do things in a very intelligent way. We have a lot of brilliant people, you know, on my team and on your team. We can do this, but we've got to do it in a peaceful, intelligent way. Their Achilles heel is the banking system. If we target that, they will come to their knees. Believe me when I tell you.
I think that's very inspiring. Thank you so much, Tiago, for all that you're doing. Make sure everyone, you sign up on DiedSuddenly.news as soon as it comes out. And just want to say thank you for watching AmericanMediaPeriscope.com. We are America's Patriot-only network. You can sign up for our free newsletter. You can also sign up for our premium portal to get that latest intel from John Michael Chambers and live events with AMP show hosts like myself. You can get my breaking news updates from SeanMorganReport.com. God bless all you patriots. Good night. Good luck.
Government-induced inflation, taxes, rising interest rates, political instability. All of these can have a crushing effect on our investments, often causing the stock market to go down. But they can also cause gold and silver to go up.
Hi, this is Dr. Kirk Elliott. Buy gold, buy silver, buy now, but buyer beware. Precious metals companies are not created equal. As a PhD economist, I have been in the financial, economic, and precious metals business for 3 decades. The philosophy of my firm is people over profit. I encourage you to read my bio to learn more about me at KirkElliottPhD.com.
Now is the time to own physical metals in an IRA, 401k, and outside of a retirement plan. Don't let the government destroy your hard-earned assets any longer. Call 720-605-3900 or visit KirkElliottPhD.com.
I'm Clay Clark, and I'm not an inventor. And this is Bob.
My name is Bob Healy, and I'm the inventor of the Grill Blazer Grill Gun.
Gentlemen, let me introduce you to the Grill Gun.
Oh!
I would have greened that anyway.
I need that!
Yes!
Bob, how does your equation work?
Okay, now hang on. This is a fairly sophisticated equation. You have a grill gun. It creates fire. Fire plus grilling equals America.
You push it down and... Yeah. It is a lot of fun. Check it out!
Fire plus grilling equals America.